try to behave, fellas.
And we're live.
That was such a setup. You know I am beyond tired. Yeah.
What's up, my greats?
What up, beautiful people?
I am Manny D, music producer, Jam3 Productions, jam3productions.com, and all that goodness.
Yes, and I am Cheo, actor, drummer, and very, very tired man. No, I realize, man, I am such a big kid. Yo, have you seen the trailer for the Tom and Jerry movie? I saw that trailer.
Yes.
I don't know why I got so giddy with joy. I got so excited for this movie. There I am is. A grown man. A fully grown man.
It's that nostalgia. Yeah,
bro,
nostalgia.
I was like, Tom and Jerry, the movie. I'm like, oh, man. I'm like, this is a moment when I wish I had, like, a kid between the ages of, like, 3 and 5. Because, you know, like.
Right. So yeah. It'd be, you could use them as an excuse to go see the movies.
But I've got
see.
A niece. I got
go.
Ways to get in there, man. Yeah.
She'd be like, I don't want to see that. I don't even know what that is.
Right,
shut up and sit down. You're going to enjoy
it. I wonder how many movies that come out that are, quote unquote, for the kids. And the parents are like more excited to see it. They're like, come on, we're going to the movie. And the kid's like, I don't even really want to go to this movie. The parents are like, no, we're going to see
it. I knew more adults that went to see Frozen before the kids. Like, I heard more adults talking about how good Frozen was. No, you need to see that. I'm looking at the
right.
Yeah, it's so awesome.
It was funny, like, when that whole Frozen wave, like, when it first came out and everything. And, like, you see the videos on social media. Of, like, the parents singing the song and the kid is annoyed, like, oh my God, right. If you sing Let It Go one more time.
Right, yeah, adults were singing that everywhere.
Man. It's crazy. I was so behind. I think we spoke about this before. I was so behind on that whole Frozen wave, like, you know, pandemonium. Like, I was so behind. I was like, who is Elsa? I was like, what is Frozen? I was like, what is Let It Go?
Did you eventually see it?
Because, you know, I work, you know, in the school system. So the kids were like, I had students that were upset with me.
You really gonna blame the kids?
My kids, they put me on today, man. They were like upset. Like I had like my little girl, like they was looking at me like, Mr. Luke, you don't know about Frozen? I'm like, I felt bad. Like, am I supposed to know about this? What's going on right now? So yeah,
so many adults were telling me to see Frozen, and I was like, at one point I was like, damn, maybe I should go see it. And then I had to snap myself out of it. Like, come on.
So you haven't seen it? Would you watch it if it were like a leisure day and you just had nothing? If it was one of those rare. Manny can do what he's got to do. There's no basketball season. The Knicks aren't playing. You feel what I'm saying? Would you sit and watch it?
See, I have no problem with watching any kind of movie. But truth be told, like when I go to the movie theater, you could pretty much put some money on is for some action.
Oh yeah, okay. I can dig
it. When I'm in a theater, I need to see, you know, car chases,
right.
You know, bombs going off, and I like my action flicks.
You want to feel like a man afterwards.
So you'll never see me go to the movie theater to watch like some comedy. That's rare. That's rare.
Oh wait, you won't catch a good comedy. Because you like, I could watch that at home. I get it.
I get it.
For the action joint, you want the movie, the speakers, the big screen and all that.
The whole surround sound, the whole experience. I can dig it. You know, I don't need 6-foot-tall speakers for a comedy and shit. You know what I'm saying?
Right. It's not the surround sound is not gonna make the joke or the punchline any funnier. So it's not like, I can dig it.
Right. And I think the last comedy that I saw in a movie theater was, what was the name?
Kings of Comedy?
With Cameron Diaz. Something About Mary. And that was what, 98? That was 98. So, yeah, the only reason that I went to see it, it wasn't my choice and shit, but I went along because I was I was at a new job and everybody was hanging out, and people, this older lady, everybody used to hang out at her house and she was cool as hell. And then one night everybody's like, yo, let's go to movies. And I was like, you want to go to movies? Yeah, let's go. And I just, you know, with the new crew, just tagging along. And then we get online and everybody's buying tickets to Something About Mary. And I'm like, wait, what? But this other movie's playing here too. Why can't we just go see that? And they were like, no, but this is hilarious. Yeah. And then, I mean, it turned out to be a funny
ass
movie.
That is a classic movie.
It wouldn't have been my choice when she did, you know, got the stuff on the hair and she opened the door with the, you know, that, yeah.
Woogie.
It was hilarious.
When he got put through the table with the baseball.
Right.
Yo, in together. We're about to sit here and talk about a movie. And together, we are. This is the Rugged Gems Podcast. Mac.
So I literally thought you were going to say actor, drummer, half asleep.
I should say that. Oh, bro, I'm more than half asleep. By the time we finish this podcast, I'm going to be like, find us on your favorite podcast. We're out of here.
My people, if at any point in this podcast you hear me talking for an extended period of time and you don't hear Chael, it means he nodded off. He hasn't slept.
All right, so let me explain to the people, because you about to make me sound like I got a dope problem or something. Let me explain why I'm so tired.
Nah. He grinding. That's what we do. I have not
slept since yesterday. When I woke up, it was today. Yeah, I haven't woke up. Goodness gracious. I have not slept since I've been awake for over 24 hours now, people. So, and we still going. Yeah. And I'm here to give you this energy.
Keep grinding. And he's going to take a quick power nap after this and be out the door grinding some more.
So you already know, man. No excuses. Right. We're trying to lead by example out here, man.
Yeah.
Oh, and to all my people out there, I know last week, and I mentioned a few things on social media. I know y'all be looking because one of my homies hit me up like, yo, you got my heart up. And I was looking forward to something for you. You ain't posted. Shut up. I had to break it down to him. I said, I'm trying to make sure I give you the good quality. He was like, he's my boy. He's like, well, that shit better be worth it, because I've been waiting.
Wow.
I appreciate the homies like that. I'm like, bro, you already know I got you, man. I mean, me and you were talking about it before we came on. Uh-huh. And so, yeah, it's all good. It's in the vault, people. Don't worry. It's coming. I appreciate y'all holding me accountable. But I told y'all, I'm not out here just trying to mass produce, you know, crap. I've officially raised the bar with certain things, so we gonna keep it there.
Right.
You know what I mean? So we Gucci. Remember that. Don't do nothing prematurely. Just to put it out. That doesn't work all the time.
You know what I spend the last couple of days doing? And normally I wouldn't even mention this. Like, you won't see it on social media. Maybe one other person knows that I'm working on this right now. But I made it a conscious decision to share what I'm working on for the podcast, so you'll always know behind the scenes of what I'm working on for the podcast.
Okay.
Through the podcast, right. You know what I'm saying? So normally, like, everything is top secret. I don't fucking announce nothing until. Did I just curse? I don't announce nothing until. I never say what I'm working on. I always talk about stuff after it drops, and sometimes not even then. But here I'm always going to talk about. I made a conscious decision to talk about everything that I'm working on, so y'all could get a feel of, you know, everything that I juggle. And it's okay to, you know, be juggling this and doing that and working on that and getting this ready for that, and so you could get a peek into my world and know that it's possible, and let you know what my train of thought is and how I plan stuff for the future, and, you know, the way my brain
works. The whole strategies, chess, not checkers. You know what I mean? People don't understand the importance of setting things up to knock them down. A lot of times people just want to go in and just do everything. They want to start the project, complete the project, adjust like everything right there. Like, nah, sometimes you got to.
Right. Everything overnight, it doesn't. Nothing happens overnight. Yeah. Just, so.
I didn't say anything that.
So,
I was just going to say, you know how they say anything that comes fast leaves fast. You know, you know, like those overnight success stories. It's funny, me and my boy was talking about it. Like, yo, how many people did you see, you know, like just growing up as kids that like were super successful quick, and then you don't hear about them. And then you see other stories that it took them a little while. Yeah, they failed along the way, but they have this longevity thing going. And that's what we all going right. for, man. Longevity. 100%. But go ahead, my brother.
Because it's more failures along the way, so more lessons learned Facts. Along the way, you know, on the grind while you're moving up, leveling Facts. Up. So that just adds to the mm-hmm, longevity. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I didn't realize that. I heard a lot of people over the years say, oh, it's the people who take longer to get to the top. Those are the people that stay at the top. And I never understood why. And it's because those are the people that had more failures and mm-hmm. more lessons along the way, so they know how to keep it and appreciate it.
I was gonna say that part right there, appreciate it. Right. And that's part of it. When you work harder and you really had to work for something, you appreciate it because you had to make it happen. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a big difference when somebody right. gives you something. Right. That's why mm-hmm. people will give you an opportunity, but you gotta make the most of the opportunity. Mm-hmm. So that way you can right. appreciate it.
Right. You made a whole bunch of mistakes along the way that you learned from. If you took 3 years to get there, yeah. how many mistakes did you make if you skyrocketed to the top? If you, you know, rags to riches overnight and mm-hmm. you're at the top, you know, overnight, what did you learn along the way? Nothing. You didn't fail. You woke right. up one day, like, you know, people who have, they dropped their first single in that, you know, in 2 weeks, it's the number one yeah. single in the country. And what did they learn along the way? Nothing. All of a sudden they're on a plane and they're traveling and making that money and they don't know nothing about the right. music business. They ain't learned nothing right. along the way. And those are those one-hit wonders that
yeah.
here today, gone tomorrow.
When that fizzles out.
They never took the time uh-huh. to build something right.
Because once that fizzles out, then it's gone. And then the other part of that is, right, the other side of the coin, is when you don't learn from certain mistakes and learn certain things and have certain failures along the way, when you get that overnight success, when you do get that first taste of failure, or you get that first, you know, will take you out. It's like, no, why are you like, why did that take you out? Because they ain't never dealt with failure, but they've never dealt with adversity. Adversity will kick you in the pants, man. If you don't know how to bounce back from it, man, it'd take yeah. you out.
So when you with me as I'm building my thing over here, a lot of people have the, and this is different people I talk to, a lot of people build businesses just to sell them. I was told early on that you need to figure out, as you build your different revenue streams, you know, obviously legacy is a huge part of it, where you want to have something to leave your kids,
right.
you know,
right.
the next right. generation will continue to grow it and all of that. And then there's certain parts of your business you're going to build to sell it. You know what True. I'm saying? It's just, you know, like, and my goal all the time when I started doing merch, for years I had, as I learned print on demand and all these, you know, e-commerce platforms and all of this stuff about doing merch, the goal, I for a lot of years, all I had were like 6 items on my merch store. I had 6 t-shirts and they were all black, one color, you know.
Black t-shirt.
Plain designs print. As I, yeah, 100%. Yeah, it was, and that was for a lot of years. While as I mm-hmm. learned what I was doing, you know, I'm the type, I jump in and then I learn right. along the way. And shit. So when I started doing merch, I didn't know what the hell I was doing. So I'm learning along the way, learning. And then a couple years ago, I think it was early last year or something, we expanded the merch line and it went from 6 items to like, it's like 25 mm-hmm. items now, assorted colors mm-hmm. of each thing. Is, you know, it's a huge line now. It's just so, a lot of choices and stuff, and learning how to manage all that and figuring out colors and bringing other people to handle the designing and all of this other stuff goes into it. Anyway, so the whole goal of that was to eventually transform a merch line into a clothing line. Mm-hmm. You know, that I would, when that transformation takes place to having a simple merch line into like original pieces and original hats and original designs. Mm-hmm. That was the original goal, is to launch a merch line and eventually turn it into a clothing line. As I learned this business, then I start learning the other business, you know, the cut and sew right, process right. and different people that you get involved to do that. And then, you know, the ins and outs. So I've been learning the last 3 months about that other process, which is a right. little different. And this year is when I start transitioning from a merch line to a clothing
Ooh.
Line. Yeah. So I already have in place who's going to do the physical manufacturing of the product, you know, and it's going to have the, you know, the tag with my company. It's not going to be like Jam 3 Productions merch is going to be its own clothing line with its own name and its own branding and all of that stuff.
Are you going to be bougie and put your name on the inside of the jackets and put your signature?
No, it's going to be its own brand. No, it's going to be its own brand. It's not going to have nothing to do with me because eventually I want to sell it. So it's going to be its own brand. If I'm the face of that brand, then it's not going to be able to carry itself. So I have to build that brand separate from what I do.
You're smart.
So, yeah. So, you know, because then... If I build it 5 years from now and I'm the face of that brand, I have to continue being the face of the brand even after I sell it.
So that
and
it can continue, yeah.
I have to, right. So that's not smart to make myself the face of the brand. So you know, I want to leave that choice open. I'm not saying that I would sell it, but I want to build something that if down the line I want to sell something to raise some capital for some other thing, you know what I'm saying? Then I have that option. So... this is the year where I'm transitioning from merch line to clothing line. So I have a lot of things in place over the last couple of weeks and who I'm dealing with and who's going to handle what and who's sewing the labels, you know, the tags with the name of the clothing line is going to be embroidered in the tags. Who's doing the tags and who's doing the... So I got a lot of even got a group of designers that's going to help me with bring my vision to life and shit. Okay. You know what I'm saying? So I got a group of people in place already that's going to help me bring my vision to life and actually do the draw-ups and the mock-ups and help me, you know, my ideas.
You mean your ideas as far as graphic designs or actual, like, wardrobe, like, fashion?
Pieces.
You ain't no fashionista, boy. What you talking about, man? You don't know nothing about no fashion, man.
It's not gonna be like a t-shirt. Like right now, it's a t-shirt, regular t-shirt with a design on it. A merch line is gonna. I'm gonna be designing the whole piece, you know, the whole fashion piece and shit. So I actually have a group of designers, in place that'll help. Gonna help me, you know, come up with concepts. I already have concepts, but they're gonna help me bring those to life. And then I have another company in place that's actually gonna be physically putting those ideas together and shit, as far as the cutting, the sewing, and all of that stuff, and the tags with my logo embroidered on the tags and all of that stuff. And I have that in place also, the distribution, how that stuff's going to be shipped out to people who buy it and all of that stuff. So I'm putting everything in place.
And please keep me in mind, because you're going to be modeling, so make sure that you design something that a brother, that's going to look good on a brother. You know,
photo shoots.
That's what it is, man.
So that's the plan this year, to kind of start, even if that transition takes a couple of years, but this is the year where I start transitioning. You might see a piece come
out,
another piece added where you're like, damn, that's not merch. That fitted got
that's a little different.
Patch and some, it's different. It's a little different, you know, it's a little original, but yeah, you're going to start seeing pieces pop up that little by little I'll be transitioning from the merch to the clothing line, the original pieces and stuff like that. So. So I got a lot of people in place already, and I've already been back and forth with a few groups of people that's going to be in place to help me facilitate that transition.
That's what's up, man. That sounds really good. That's a lot of work. Just naming everything that you have to oversee. You know, how sometimes you look at something, I'm sure you've discovered this, and when you're going to do something, and in your mind, you think, I just got to do A, B, C, D. And then you get into it and you like, holy shit.
Yeah.
I didn't know I had to do this, and this, and this before I can even do that. Right. Like, golly.
Yeah, it was a lot, because I knew that I wanted to do it eventually. But then, like, I obviously I didn't know nothing about it and shit. I knew that was the vision. But... like you said, once I dove in, like a couple of months ago, I started diving in and doing research, and I did a deep dive into that whole world, because that's a whole different world where I know nobody, I know nothing in it.
It's not like you had anybody you could call and be like, hey.
100%. Right. I just had to go ahead and start building those relationships now and see who's good at what and who's local and if I need stuff and who could I call and start putting together all the information. So that's what I've been doing, researching that whole process. So a few things are in place. I'm disappointed because the name that I had for the clothing line that I had in mind would have been the dope name for the clothing line. It's already taken. And actually the next four names that I came up with after that are also taken. So we're going back and forth coming up with a name that actually mean something to what I do.
Right. You know, yeah. Not just some random.
It can't just have. Right. There has to be a story behind the name and stuff like that. So
absolutely.
It gotta mean something to me. So, but that's where I'm at with what I'm doing now.
It's just, that's what it is. What am I doing? I ain't got nothing going on. No, I'm playing. You already know we working on. You already know we working on with the. We got some drum things, some music things coming to the people.
Team No Sleep over here. Team No Sleep over here talking about. I ain't got nothing.
Yeah, nah, we got a bunch going on. Goodness gracious, but it's fun. It's a blessing, man. I mean, outside of, you know, the usual, the music. The drumming, me and Manny D got some things that we working on, some things that's going to be coming up.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, the movie, I can't believe it's about to be March. We about to start shooting, at the end of March. So that is exciting within itself. So that's coming up.
You don't want to give away any of the information yet?
I told them my role, right? I'm playing a cop. I didn't tell them.
Are you really? You didn't tell me that. Sure? You never said that.
I am an asshole cop.
Did you say?
Part of my language. Sorry, Ma. But I told her the same thing on the phone. She said, "Yeah, I am an asshole police officer."
Popo.
For sure. So that's gonna be fun. Got a couple little lines. You know, nothing too crazy. You know, I'm out here working out real hard because, you know, I'm trying to make sure I look good on screen. I want to make sure the biceps, you know, and all that is popping right on screen. You know what I mean?
When you grab somebody.
Yeah, you want to, got the veins, you know, coming out and all that. So, you know, we got to get right with that. So that's fun. About to get back into the classes with Wendy because I'm definitely kicking up auditions. I have, I've been breaking things down quarterly because I have, you know, we be planning out the whole year. Like, we're already thinking about things that we want to do December of this year. So breaking things down quarterly in order for me to accomplish them, I'm looking forward to the second quarter. Second quarter is really going to be a lot of action. It's going to start in March, which is technically the end of the first quarter. So by the time I get into April, it's going to be everything should be flowing. Talk about not setting things up to knock them down. I'm going to have a bunch of dominoes in line so I can just knock them down and start to let some things just take care of themselves. And that's the good part when you really get into it. Because I know it's frustrating for a lot of people when you're in that planning phase, when you're ready to, like, jump out the gate, but you know, like, I don't want to, you know, you're right there. But once you are at that point to where now you can just start going and you know where you're headed, you got things lined up because you want to have direction. I know, Manny, and trust me, we're all like, yes, jump. Some things you just jump in and do. But with the things that you know, like that you have to plan, you know, I have to have this in a particular way in order for me to accomplish. I can learn this along the way, but I want to get of here. Course. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Once you get to that point, it's a lot of fun because if you've done it properly, it should just flow one thing into the next project. You're rolling to the next thing. Everything should be done. You shouldn't be feeling stressed out if you properly plan. You feel what I'm saying? And properly planning helps alleviate stress because understand, just trying to be successful and trying to be great comes with its own level of stresses, period. Adversity is going to come every day. So do your best and plan it out so that when you're able to go, you can just go and not worry about it and things are just flowing. So that's what I'm looking forward to. You feel what I'm saying? And then with the, I was talking about getting back into the classes with Wendy, because for the second quarter, I've got a certain amount of auditions that I want to go at every week. So how else are you going to have that happen? I'm submitting my self-tapes and everything now because the auditions take place in April. So, of course, I can't wait until April and try to find a bunch of auditions. Like, I need to sit here, you know, with anything that you're trying to do and as an actor, there is a level of planning into audition because I'm not just applying for any and everything because that would just be a waste of time. That would be, you know, stupid. I'm looking for roles that play to my part and, you know, on your actor's access or on your backstage, whichever one people, you know, that listen to this are using. I got told that actor's access is good for me right now. And then I'll build myself up to the other one I say. But due to my lack of sleep and oxygen. I can't recall.
Before we go on, I just want to throw this out there real quick. Before we go on, it's just like I know we've been losing a lot of people lately, and I'm
yeah,
it's crazy. Like, you know, in a short amount of time. I just found out 2 days ago that we lost Miss Wilson, founding member of the Supremes.
Right, right.
That's crazy. I didn't even know. We just lost, for all my Latinos out there, we just lost Johnny Pacheco this week. Within the a 7 day span, two people who like I looked up to, Chick Corea.
Yeah, man.
Just freaking like, I was like, what? Like, he's somebody's career I followed closely. You know, just somebody who took a genre, and that was something that was done locally in certain areas, and you had to go to like these underground little jazz spots, right, to find some good, right, jazz, and you know, and he took jazz and made it a global right, thing. You know, Chick Corea, just a phenomenal, right, musician. So another person, Rupert Neve, who I've always been a fan of his work. Rupert Neve is you know, when you go into those recording studios and those big mixing boards,
yeah,
that, you know, a lot of people prefer SSL boards. A lot of studios have these Neve boards. I'm a fan of Neve. I've always been a fan of Neve boards. Oh, people always look at me like I'm crazy because I always prefer a Neve board over an SSL board. And I've been a fan of it. I know, just the recording sounds more warm, more vinyl-like, the texture. For some reason, I always like Neve, mm-hmm, boards better. And even now, as I'm recording and mixing in the box using Universal Audio, even I have my plugins that emulate Neve boards on my,
oh, okay,
on my mixing software, on my recording software. So I've always been a fan. I like Neve and shit. I've always been a fan of Neve, and Robert Neve passed away the same week that Chick Corea passed away. So that's, I was like, wait, what the hell, right, is going on here? And then now I'm saying all that to say this, and now we just lost Prince Marky D. People from my era, from the Fat Boys,
yeah,
that was,
I've
like,
seen you posted that, yeah,
superstar status early on, like, you know, like that was one of the groups that, you know, the first of all, Prince Marky D was the first Latino to, people are like, you know, oh, you know, Big Pun was the first Latino to go platinum. No, he kind of wasn't. Prince Marky D was.
Look at you dropping some hip hop now.
So, you know, Prince Marky D, the Fat Boys was a group, like, you really saw that this, and this was early on, we're talking about, yeah, 80s, that this hip hop thing could go global. Like, they showed, like,
yeah,
yo, they was doing movies, they were traveling all over,
yeah,
the world,
Fat Boys was everywhere,
and doing all this stuff. They was just doing stuff that you never seen hip hop artists do before,
right,
you know, like with some of the videos and some of the crossover songs with Beach Boys and all these other, mm-hmm, songs that they did, that'd be like, wait, hip hop could do that? And hip hop rap artists are working with these kind of artists, and like,
right,
wait,
right,
what? You know? So it was just, you know, that was that, you know, my era, people my age was huge fans of the Fat Boys and shit. I remember the first time being in the same room with them at Devil's Nest. All my Bronx heads out there, y'all know Devil's Nest and shit. So the Fever was a huge hip hop spot in the Bronx. Sal Abatello owned that club. And for the 10th anniversary of that club, by the time the 10th anniversary rolled around to that club, he also owned the Devil's Nest, which is literally two blocks away from my house at the time. And so the Fever closed down, so they couldn't celebrate the 10th anniversary, so they celebrated it at his other club, Devil's Nest. So my boy was security there, that, and it was a private party where all these, you know, Run DMC was,
oh,
there,
wow,
like, you name it,
LL,
right, like,
right,
all of these people, big names in hip hop at that time were there, including Fat Boys and shit. So my boy was like, yo, I got you, just show up at this time, I'll be outside. So I was in,
nice,
there, you know, taking pictures and hanging out with Run DMC and all of this stuff. So I got a few stories from that night, but yeah, that was the first time I was in the same room with the Fat Boys and shit. So
that's
story,
man.
I totally forgot about that night until I found out that Prince Marky D died, and I was like, oh snap, I remember that day. And
that's crazy. You said taking pictures, yeah, and stuff. Yeah. Was it an iPhone 1? What was it? Or was it a Polaroid? Was it a...
No, it was a Polaroid. They actually had a photographer in the club.
Oh, yeah.
Back,
oh,
then,
yeah,
there was,
yo,
actually a photographer.
I forgot,
come
about
on now,
the photographer.
Come
in the
on
club
now.
Yo, that's, yo.
With the Polaroids.
Let me, yeah, explain something to y'all real quick. That just took me back. Yo, because, you know, I've been, you know, I'm a bouncer and everything. So I'm thinking about when I first started bouncing, that was when, like, at the tail end of that, like, it was only like another good 2-3 years. So before you guys, yeah, and these photographers in the club, and you're just walking around flashing the camera in people's faces while they're trying to drink and blinding people, right, people right used to legit come to the club. There was a photographer that everybody knew that was from the hood, somebody uncle or something, and he had his banner right set up in the back of the club, and you could go take your picture
with some airbrush, with some airbrush background.
And he would print the picture up for you right there, put it in the little white,
shaking like a Polaroid.
Man, we are telling our age right now. There are young people listening to this like, what the hell are they talking about?
What's a Polaroid?
Or that thing Andre 3000 talked about in Hey Ya, right?
That was. I think I don't even know where. You know, my ex-wife has the Polaroids from that night because she has my entire life in totes in her garage right now.
If anybody wants to know,
because I literally I know her since age 12.
Right.
And we moved around a lot and was unstable and lost a lot of shit along the way. So anything from my childhood, she has it. You know what I'm saying? So all pictures and everything, like totes and totes of shit from our upbringing, she has them. So, and I leave it there where it's safe and shit.
Yeah, because then you're like, no, I'll take it. And then you mess around taking it and it won't make it. Yeah. Word up. You might have some hidden gems and some stuff in there if you actually ever go through it.
Oh, trust me. Because even in the 80s, when we were signed to management and we were doing shows and stuff like that, like all those pictures, she was at all those shows. Right. She took all those pictures and stuff like that. So I have some here from those days, but I'm sure she has more.
Golly. The slim Manny with hair. I swear the first time I saw you in a picture, I was like,
with the afro.
That's Manny? I said, yeah, that's Manny.
See, I brought all of that up just to say, you know, we here at Rugged Gems send our condolences to the Morales family, you know, Prince Marky D and his moms and his brother and all of the, you know, the whole family.
Yeah, man.
That one really hurt.
That one resonated. Because you can take yourself back to a memory.
He was only like 52, you know, that 52, like, those were our heroes when we was kids and shit. When we was teenagers, like, yo, they made it. Like, they showed it could be done. We talking about in the early, like people, the kids now who are coming up, the artists now, there's a whole line of artists that made it before them. Like this was, we were starting to see artists make it. You know, so they was our heroes, like, yo, they from our hood.
Right, because it was at that.
They from our city and they doing this and they doing like, that was like, you know, so they was our heroes.
Right.
So, you know, so that one, like all these people passing away, and also when you hear Prince Marky D, you're like, and then I follow him on IG. So it's like, so I right away went to Kool Rock Ski's page to see if he was gonna say something about it. You know, the other guy from, because Buffy passed away years ago, the human beatbox. So there's only one left from the Fat Boys. Yeah. So I right away went to, and he does a podcast, and they were doing, because of this happening, they did it live on IG, him and his partner in the podcast, and they were, you know, I had to tune in, and they were talking about all the stories from touring and, you know, just silly stuff. They knew each other since like age 7. They were from the same block. So they're talking about, it's not even rap stories.
Childhood,
it's
like childhood friend stories.
And
I remember his mom's, you know, made this, so like real
yeah,
inside.
Right. And like, he was like, yo, his mom's was my mom's and my mom's his mom's. Like his mom's will grab me by the ear.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like that type of thing. It's just so, it was cool to tune in for that and shit. So condolences out, prayers up, you know.
Absolutely. Man, you always got some once upon a time, did you know?
I could write a history.
Goodness gracious.
That's why somebody once told me, it was like, yo, you could write a whole hip hop history. You like a hip hop historian, you always got these hip hop stories, da, da, da. And it's not cause you studied anything, you was just there and shit.
Right, well, other people have to go to school for it to be a hip hop historian. Right. It's like, nah, we lived it. I was there. I seen it.
Yeah.
I remember when that song got played on the radio for the first time and everybody lost their mind. You know what I'm saying? Like
I could literally, and it's funny because this year I actually wanna shoot my origin story. Like all these superheroes got the, I don't want to sound like, I don't think I'm a superhero, man. But I got some stories to tell, you know, and I think there's people that need to know where hip hop came from and the early days and my involvement and all of that stuff. Right. And you know, go on location to each of these locations in the Bronx. It was on this corner when this happened. Right. And this is where I met this person, and this is the studio where I, you know, worked with that person, and blah blah blah, and you know, all of that stuff. So I would love to shoot my origin story and tell, you know, hip hop. A lot of people with this generation don't know where hip hop came from. They just know it's that thing on the radio. They're looking at it like it's a rags to riches thing they could use to get out the hood, and they don't know what led up to, what were the conditions in the Bronx that led to us creating this thing, hip hop. You know,
it was legit a movement going on in the hood that birthed hip hop.
Yeah, it was a grassroots thing that, you know, in our communities that we did locally just to kind of be able to, you know, do something and create and have a voice,
and
you know, where
express yourself.
These kids looking at it like it's something now so different. Like if you only knew
what
was going on at the time and what made us do this thing.
Right. Or while you're seeing it hit national, you know, headlines, you know the story that happened right before that happened, or what happened in order for that to happen.
Right.
And that's the crazy thing, not even just with hip hop, with a lot of things, but especially with hip hop. If this person, because everything was in boroughs and hoods, and the artists that we pay homage to now, you hear about, like, they were legit, like, in the streets, like, in their neighborhood. And if this person hadn't went to this person's house, or if this person's mom hadn't moved on this block, these two artists would have never connected, and it would have never, if they didn't live in the same building, something would have never, the world would have never happened.
Yeah, like, Prince Markie D said he lived on that block in East New York in Brooklyn, and then, like, Prince Markie D moved into the house two houses down the block, two houses away from his house, and they met shoveling snow. It was a big blizzard that year.
Wow.
And they were like seven and 8 years old and shoveling snow outside in front of each other's houses, and they were like, how you doing? You know, like, he was a new kid on the block, and they met, and years later, Fat Boys, world tours and movies. And I literally went to the movies specifically to go see Disorderlies when they dropped their first movie.
Wow.
That was hip hop on the big screen. I had to go see it. I had to support that. And even as a kid, I'm like, no, we got to go see that in the movies. You know what I'm saying?
We're not waiting for VHS. We need that now. That's crazy.
Right.
That's crazy. Yeah.
So I definitely would like to shoot my origin story and show how it aligns with, you know, hip hop history and all of that stuff.
That's going to require a lot of jogging down memory lane and writing stuff down
That's not going
to
be easy.
You
got
to go all the way back into the, I mean, what's that joint we used to have to use back in the day in the library when you had to find
the little
joint, you know what I'm talking about?
Those little cards you pull out and, oh, here's the number.
Right. You sit here with the index cards walking through the aisles in the library. Y'all kids don't know nothing about that, man. You guys got this.
Yeah.
The power of being able to research.
So I think that's an important story to tell, you know, and all the groups and everything that was out back then that, you know, cultivated the culture and the different elements that I was, you know, I was involved in every element. I was a B-boy too. I had a manager and did shows breakdancing or rocking. I shouldn't say breakdancing because my dance heads are because the media gave it that name. That's not what we call it.
Oh, right.
We called it rocking and shit.
We rocking and
breakdancing and this other. Yeah, so
it's funny. Even certain slang, people don't even realize it came from like your hood. Like that word. Like, you ever wonder, like, who invented that word? Oh, it's probably some Johnny from the block or something started that, and then a rap artist took it and it went worldwide.
I bug out when I hear like commercials, like to a law firm, and 1-800, you can call us 247, and that was something we said back in the days, you know, in the hood, 247. Yeah. Also, like, these law firms are using it in their advertisements, 247. Like, really? You know, you always hear these little phrases that we started back in the days, and all of a sudden you see it like it's become normal terminology for, you know.
Well, we know that.
People using in their advertising.
We know that just the hip hop and urban culture just influences the world. Literally.
Well, when a lot of these Fortune 500 companies, when the way they're doing their advertising now, when they come to grips that hip hop culture is American culture right now, like it's that big right now, like we influence everything right now.
Like, I don't care what it is.
Media, you name it. you name it, fashion, you know, like, I'll give you an example. In the Bronx, if you went to the Bronx in the late 70s, early 80s, nobody dressed like we dressed. We had the gazelles, the hats and the Lee jackets with the acrylic paintings. I still have my Lee jacket with the acrylic painting on the back.
Wow.
I still got it. It's wrapped in plastic. I was supposed to put it in this display up at upstate at this college. I don't want to go into that, but I turned it down and shit. It was supposed to be this hip hop history display that was gonna go up and shit, and I said no and shit. But anyway, there's a lot like for so fashion. So it's like we the ones that was throwing the stuff that we had access to and putting our spin on it.
Right, to make it,
you know, good. And the way with the fat laces and or walking around with Adidas shell toe Adidas with no laces. Or putting the shoestring to make the, you know, we used to take the pants, the jeans that were bootleg and flap them in the back and put shoestrings around the leg of the pants to make it straight leg. And then the fashion world had to come up with straight legs.
That's crazy.
Like we influenced
that's crazy.
You know, like all this stuff. And then I remember it transitioning to a little section in the mall. Urban Wear was this little section in the mall. And now it's like...
It's an urban store everywhere.
Urban Wear is this big trillion-dollar market now.
Yeah.
You know, and all these ideas and the way that we dressed back in the day that we influenced the whole industry. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So you look at all these different industries, you know, the recording industry was never the same after hip-hop. The fashion was never the same after hip-hop. Entertainment, dance, like all these things. They just voted that our form of dance is going to be an Olympic sport at the next Olympics.
What?
Yeah. We've been fighting for that for
decades. I ain't even hear nothing about that. That's crazy.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Wow. Yep.
They did it at the Pan Am Games just to give it a test run a couple years ago. And they just, last year, they voted.
I didn't hear about
that. The Olympic Committee last year voted it will be in the next. It'll be a thing in the next. I mean, it'll start small. And
so somebody could get a gold medal for being the best breakdancer in the world?
Yes, 100%.
That's crazy.
Because the same amount of training and everything goes into that as a gymnast.
Oh, yeah, it's not easy.
And there's different moves and there's different,
I know dancers, that is not easy.
You know, up rocking and floor rocking and air moves and power moves.
And like, injuries while
you
practicing.
You can literally rate
those.
There's
injuries. I've seen dancers get hurt.
10.0, like, you know, what was your level of difficulty? There's level of difficulty for different moves, air tracks and windmills with no hands and like all this. What dancers are doing now compared to what we was doing back then, woo. They took, I mean, not here, but you go to like Asia,
overseas,
and places in Europe, they're still having these big freaking functions and these big
competitions. The turnouts are insane.
Getting these big spots. And what these dancers are doing, like, it's still people like, oh, nobody's dancing like that no more. Like, you crazy.
Well, I don't know how people say that. It originated from somebody. They're recycling what they watched, what they saw somebody doing, putting a twist on it. Like, everything. Right. Like, you can see, I'm pretty sure you can take the most recent, you know, group of pop lockers, break dancers and everything like that, and watch their routine, and you can probably go back to something that you have in the vault from the 80s and damn near line them up and be like,
I watch routines now, and throughout the whole routine I'm saying guys' names. Oh, Noel invented that move, this guy invented that move, this guy invented that move. Oh, that's a take, a different spin on this guy's move. Like, I know the guys who started those moves and shit.
Yeah, and that's crazy. It's like, yo, who the hell was the first person to do a windmill and spin around on their head like five times? Like, who the hell thought of that? Like, who was that first guy?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Word.
What you want me to tell you? Was you really asking me?
It was rhetorical. But if you know the answer, like, what the hell? I thought I was just randomly asking something. He's like, oh yeah, I know him. I grew up with him. He still lives around on 138th Street.
Yeah. Shout to Little Lep who made that move famous.
Goodness gracious.
Yeah.
Goodness gracious. You know, it's funny. I see.
He actually lived a block over from me on the same block with in the same building. I don't think it was the same building as Kid Capri.
Oh, wow.
Like, the Little Lep is from that same block.
Wow.
But just to show people like this stuff is still going on now, I'll give you a little bit of B-boy history right now. Back in the days, I'll try to make this quick. I know this wasn't even the topics we was talking on, but it's important nonetheless, I feel.
History is important. That's before you go into that, there is a gem in this, because a lot of people, being a student to the game is a lost form. Mm-hmm. A lot of people just want to jump in and just, you have to legit 100%. Be a student to the game. You have to go back and look at, mm-hmm. And it's funny, I didn't even think about it, but when I first started my acting classes, of course, I'm watching the Michael B. Jordans and, you know, rest in peace, Chadwick Boseman and everything like that. And of course, who doesn't know who Denzel is? And you know, Mekhi Phifer. Right. Mekhi Phifer. Right. I love Mekhi Phifer back in the day.
Well, who was Denzel's idol?
Wendy's like, you need to start watching Sidney Poitier and Raising in the Sun and to start watching Taking It Back and early Larry Fishburne, you know, Cornbread Earl and Me and Cooley High and Casablanca. I'm like, what the hell do I need to watch Casablanca for Gone with the Wind? Because there's a certain...
Those are classic movies for a reason.
And there's something that you learn and you take from it, and it's just something that you pour into yourself as an actor, you know? So if you're a rapper, you should be paying attention. If you call yourself a rap artist, a legit rapper, and somebody asks you your top 10 artists, and no, not one OG, not Kool Moe Dee, KRS-One, Rakim, nobody from back in the day is on your list, you're bugging. If you want to be an athlete, if you're a basketball player, you're not just watching LeBron. If you're really a student to the game, you're watching still Jordan highlights, Larry Bird highlights, you feel what I'm saying? Moses Malone highlights, whatever position it is that you play. So you have to be a student. You got to know the history.
Mike Tyson is like what made him so great, that he studied everybody, like for not just the generation mm-hmm. before him. He could sit down and have a whole discussion on boxing,
like
history.
The black and whites, the original.
He was like, you know, but then you know you have a love and a passion for this thing that you just need to. You need all the information.
No stone unturned. Like, why did he train like that? Why did he fight like that? Yeah. What made him good? Why did that guy suck? You know, you feel what I'm saying? It's just a thirst for every, like, you want to just absorb everything. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah. Right. And that's why Tick always tells me, before I get into my B-boy story, Tick always tells me that I be a shoo-in, like I should have a management company and I should manage artists. He's been telling me that for years and shit. And I was like, any artist, if I was to ever venture down that road, any artist I signed would spend 9 months studying before we do any work. You would have to know you would have to know the history, and you would be learning this person's discography and who did this and who did that mm-hmm. and who did what achievements in hip hop and who was the first to do this and who was the first to do that. You'd have to, you in my camp and I'm managing you need to know this thing in and out.
Right, yeah, you need to have this you know knowledge, what I'm saying? Absolutely.
Right, you ain't doing interviews and talking about Drake. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're going to know this thing.
Right,
you're going to know this thing.
Yeah, and I was going to ask you, I know you're about to, I'm excited to hear this B-boy story, but I know one thing, mm-hmm. as we were just talking about it, like studying the greats and the history and everything like that. The other part of it is not just studying their successes, like studying their failures. I was watching something on YouTube, and it might have been my man Gary or something, but he was saying like how everybody's always, and I think we've spoken about it before, everybody always wants to look at the success stories and where they were in the success, and you learn more. Just like in life, you'll learn more from people's failures. So look up certain things that they didn't succeed at, because it's so crazy. Like some of your most successful people that you look and inspired, you know, to be like, whatever the case is, if you look them up, you would be shocked at how many things they failed at before they actually got good. Yeah, that's part of the history too.
100%, 100%, 100%. And I think I told you this story once, like I could easily tell the stories of like in the 80s where the two big dance groups in the 80s were New York City Breakers and Rocksteady and shit. And, as a kid during my elementary school days, that young, I lived on Beaumont Ave in the Bronx, 183rd, and a block over was Crotona Ave, and that's where Buck Four, Flex, and all of them were at. They had a basement where they used to practice breakdancing. This is where freaking Rocksteady started. Wow. You know, like, so I knew all them from that block. And then when I moved to Cedric Avenue in my teen years, and like more junior high school and high school, University Ave was a couple of blocks over, and that's where like Chino lived and Matthew lived and all the guys that were in New York City Breakers and shit. So it was crazy for me to like go watch B Street and both crews, and I know guys from both crews personally, and they're battling in the movie on the big screen.
That was insane.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. That was insane to me and shit. So, but even going back further than that, real quick, a quick history lesson. The original five B-boy crews in the Bronx, one of them was the Bronx Boys Rockin' Crew, okay. Right? Shout to Batch, who I'm still a friend of his to this day and shit. So he started that crew. His brother Abby, great friend of mine, great childhood mm-hmm. friend of mine and shit. Batch got into some trouble and got locked away for many years. While he was locked away, before he got locked away, he dissolved TBB, okay. Right? The Bronx Boys. While he was locked away, his brother wanted to bring it back and assemble the crew again. And this is years later. He assembled the crew. So to this day, Bronx Boys still exists.
Oh, really?
I go every year to the anniversary in the Bronx. Yeah. And not only that, not only it exists, but I forget what the latest count was, but there's chapters all over this country. And there's about close to 30 chapters
worldwide.
Right now, worldwide, wow. Globally. Yeah. And I'm a honorary OG member of TBB and shit. I go every year to the anniversary and shit in the Bronx, where I meet up with all my childhood friends and everybody. And Abby lives in Florida right now. But if you look at all these chapters, these global 30 chapters around this country, around mm-hmm. the globe, to be a member of any one of the chapters, like if you want to be down with TBB
right.
and you're a, you know, you're a dancer, you have to do two things. You have to be, you have to study, because there's a whole thing of hip hop history. You have to know right. hip hop history and the history of B-boying okay. from day one. So you have to take a test and pass with a certain
score. Oh, wow.
To be down.
That's right. Official.
And then you know how like gangs and stuff, you got to be jumped in. They don't jump you in, but you have to dance in. So you have to battle that whole chapter in that place. So it's the most exhausting thing you ever did in your life, because it's you battling against, like, it could be 10 guys that they pick. Okay, you are going to battle him. So you dance, and then one of them dance. Then you dance, and one of them dance.
And you can't keep recycling the same moves.
So you're dancing frequently. Yeah, so you're dancing every other turn, while there 10 of them might dance one every 10 turns.
Right, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So you're like, I've seen people like pass out at the end and just throw themselves on the floor and be like, you know, after getting danced in and shit. And then every single one of these chapters around the world do stuff for the community.
That's what's up. Well, that's keeping them with the.
So we do for the anniversary, we do a food drive. So everybody brings canned food and all this stuff, and it gets donated. We do coat drives. So every chapter around you know, if there's 30 chapters right now, globally, every chapter like doing stuff in their mm-hmm. community, whether it's doing stuff for the kids, raising money, doing community work. You know, I know a guy in MC Pencil, he does in Uganda, he's like doing b-boy lessons for the kids in the community to get them off the street and have it, giving them something to do. And you know, a lot of people are doing b-boy events and contests and raising money. If there's issues in their community they need to fix, the b-boys are coming out and trying mm-hmm. to fix that. Like, there's positive work being done around the world by b-boys in this one crew, know what I'm saying? So shout to Abby, my boy Abby, I mean, I could go on and on talking about TBB.
Shout out to that. They get official. Sounds like it's just they get an honorary Rugged Gem drop.
Yeah, right. So I laugh when people say, oh, ain't nobody doing that dancing no more. I'm like, yeah, okay, whatever. Because you're not in that world, so you don't know what's going on.
Oh yeah, they don't know how heavy it really is. But dance has so many different forms, man. And so many different forms of dance have really come out of the hood. Like, for real, a lot of a lot of different dances that you see everywhere mm-hmm. in commercials. Like, yo, how crazy is it? You see Whoop, There It Is, and what is that, Geico, Progressive, whatever. I see that commercial, I'm like, yo, that's crazy that something they did that long ago. Right. Manny, how old is that song? At least 20, 25 years old? That's something like that.
Yeah. I bugged out the first time I heard it. First time I saw the commercial.
And that just goes to show how influential. Like, they knew that, right?
Shaka-laka, shaka-laka,
right. To be able to play off that, and still everybody knows what it is. Like, and that's the super dope right. thing and about right. the how organic it is and how real it is. Like, it sticks with, it doesn't die. Like, why is Whoop There It Is still recognizable in 2021? Like, how? Right. How that is just
right.
Yeah. That just goes to show, man. That's yeah.
Yeah.
That's some heavy.
But the history. I always feel like the history, the importance of the history of what we brought. Well, I don't want to get into all that, but like the history of everything that Black and Brown people brought to the table in this country.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
has huh? always been like has always been like pushed to the side. No, you know, like mm-hmm. they don't want to give us credit for stuff we've built and stuff yeah. we created and stuff like. We did a lot. We built this country. You know what I'm saying? So when people, when, and we can't, here's the thing that I always preach is like, especially in the B-boy world and stuff, because there's always issues with different people claiming to do stuff. And there's always arguments in the B-boy world with people trying to take credit right. for doing something they didn't do. And somebody, people, us who were there, we're like, nah, you kind of didn't do that. I had beef with a well-known B-boy one time. Because he was in an interview saying he did something that he didn't do. And I went online in the comments to that article on a major hip hop media outlet. And I was like, no, it kind of happened like this. Da, 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 da. And then somebody copied what I said, put it on social media, and B-boys around the world signed
wow.
it on the bottom of what I said. And that ignited a beef between me and him that I had to show up at one of his events because he was like bad mouthing me all over. And I showed up in his face. Like you can't be an internet gangster and everybody knows you right, got an right. event. You got an event in your hood next Saturday.
Yeah.
I'ma show up. He turned around, I was standing there. I said, what'd you say?
¿Qué pasó?
Yeah, so we had to like, you know, but like men, we went to the side, we talked about it and squashed it or whatever. We good right now, but
you can't be mad at facts.
Yeah, the history of this whole thing is like not forget about, but everything we contributed to building this country. But in hip hop, I'm more passionate, like the history has to be told and we can't depend on other people
to tell our story.
We have to tell our story, which is one of the reasons I want to shoot my origin story and shit, you know, and tell hip hop history and what I saw and who I worked with and all of that mm-hmm. stuff this year. That's one of my goals this year.
Just gotta shoot.
Because that gotta be done. I gotta make sure that
documentary. You shooting a movie, you know? Video, vlogs, documentary. You must got a lot of iCloud space, right? Your Dropbox must be ridiculous.
Podcast. Right.
God, wait.
Little bit.
Right. and just shook up some new heat. I can't wait till the engineer get that one. Ooh. I know. It's just you still the cake is still baking, but yeah, that one's gonna be good.
Oh, that's right, and I'm making music too.
Oh, yeah, because it's almost forgot. I'm a producer.
That's right. I do music too. Oh my God.
Goodness gracious.
Yeah, I keep a little.
Just a little bit.
But it's just stuff that's important to me. Stuff that needs to be, you know, like a lot of the stuff that we're doing, you know, between this podcast and writing my book is like. And I'm not gonna. I'll save the subject for next week because we didn't even touch on what we was gonna talk about. Guys, we both holding up our notes, throwing each other.
Can you hear the paper in my hand? These are all my notes.
Every once in a while, we always plan. He has a subject to talk about. I have a subject to talk about. And there's times where we go into something that's a little more important than we got to talk about.
Yeah.
And the whole episode ends up being about that. So that's what happened this week.
But we appreciate y'all listening, though.
Yeah, but the history, the hip-hop history is so important that it needs to be taught to the next generation and the next generation. Because the people who can tell the story about the hip-hop origins are still alive right now. A lot of us are still here. But the next generation, we're not going to be here to tell those stories.
Right, right.
So we got to make sure that stuff is documented so future generations know exactly.
Right.
Right.
So, yeah, because we know how that goes.
Otherwise, you know, because corporate America come in and tell a whole different story. Right. And, you know, we see little Timmy in the schoolyard back then when he wasn't there.
Right, 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 right. The original B-boy.
The original B-boy didn't look like that.
Yeah.
They don't look like one.
But, yeah. But anybody who knows me in my hip-hop arena, y'all know that, you know, they know that that's important to me, documenting, you know, our history and what we're doing and what we did and all of that stuff.
So, for sure, man.
I think it's important.
For sure. So. Not too many people get a chance to influence things, man.
Another good one in the books.
Another good one in the books, man.
Another good one in the books by accident, on accident.
Hey, man, you stay ready so you ain't got to get ready. That's why we do our little pregame warm-up. So by the time we get in the game, if we just got to jump in and go one way, it's all good. It's all good. I'm surprised I made it and didn't fall asleep on the mic.
Yeah, he's still sitting up. His eyes been closed the last half hour, folks, but he's still sitting up. He's still sitting upright and shit.
That didn't happen. I had to hit the rugged gym.
I was set to keep talking and shit. I wouldn't have woke you up. And shit. I would have let you sleep.
I'd have listened to the episode like, why I don't hear myself?
Damn, man, he's talking a lot.
I didn't give no feedback.
I didn't have
right on nothing.
You hear you lightly snoring in the background. I would have just added the snoring out and kept talking.
Oh my goodness. What's that?
So my brother, could you tell them where they could find us on social media?
I knew you were going to make sure you emphasize social media. I'm like, watch him make sure he emphasizes social media. Yes, they can find us on Instagram at Rugged Gems. You can also find us on Twitter at Rugged Gems. And if you don't have access to either or, you can always go to www.ruggedgems.com.
Boom.
Yeah.
Can I give the list? I haven't given the list in a while. Can I give the list this time?
You haven't. Please feel free. Take the pressure off me this week.
Because then that would mean you'd have to open your eyes to read the list. I wouldn't want to wake you up.
I'll be reading shit all wrong. Find us on Audible Cast and Deezer.com and Radio TuneIn.
You'll be mixing the names and Breaker right. FM, and you'll be making up right. Your names.
Spotadora.
Right. Uh-huh. iHeart Overcast and stuff.
Oh, my gosh.
But ladies and gentlemen, if anybody asks you if you want to pass the word around, maybe you have a friend who's listening on a podcast app that's not the same podcast app that you use, and they want to know where they can find the Rugged Gems podcast, please feel free to tell them that we're on Apple Podcasts, the Google Podcasts app, Pandora, iHeartRadio, Deezer, Pocket Cast, Radio Public, TuneIn, GeoSavant, Spotify, Amazon Music, Stitcher, Radio.com, Overcast, Player FM, Breaker, Ghana, and Audible.
And shout out to all the countries, man. We appreciate y'all listening to us. Yeah, thank you.
Our global audience, we appreciate y'all.
Yo, stay blessed.
Much love, people. Much love. And dare to be great.
Yeah, stay beautiful. And we'll be here same time, same place, same podcast launching app.
And Chair will be awake next week, I promise.
Yes. I will get, we'll be here. All right, let me give y'all my last bit of energy, because this has been the Rugged Gems Podcast.
Peace.
Mac.